Oh, Father God, we just come before you, Lord God, this morning. We humble ourselves, God, to you, Lord. And Father, so many things are happening in this world at the moment, Lord God, but one thing remains, Lord, and that's the Word of God. Thank you, God, that we can know that your Word will not return void to you, Lord God. Lord Jesus, we thank you that as that Word came, that we, doesn't matter what happens, Lord God, that we can know that we are surrounded with a cloud of witnesses, Lord. That we must run this race of endurance, looking and keeping our eyes, Lord Jesus, on you, the author and finisher of our faith, Lord. God, I thank you, Lord, that we walk by faith and not by sight. God, that faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. Lord God, that you reward those who diligently seek you, Lord God. Father, we pray that every person in this church, God, will turn closer to you, Lord, will know and understand the revelation of the Father, who you are to us, and that we are your children, Lord, that we are not hirelings, we are not slaves, God, but we are sons and daughters of the God Most High, that you have, your Spirit have adopted us as children, and that your Spirit identifies with our spirit that we are children of God, Lord. And at this time, that the whole creation is eagerly awaiting the revelation of the children of God, the sons of God, Lord. And we pray for every person to stand up in the authority that you've given us, Lord, at the cross. That we can all understand that we are here on this earth. We are placed here. We are born for a time such as this, Lord God. That we can know, Lord, that your purposes for us is to live a holy lifestyle. To live a lifestyle to represent you, Lord God, here on earth, as priests, as kingly priests to this world. God, that you're saying the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few, and that we must pray for the laborers to be released. And God, I thank you for a church full of laborers, God, this morning. People with a heart for you. A heart for the kingdom of God, Lord. God, I thank you, Lord, for every person in this church who are so precious, Lord. Precious to you, precious to me, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord God, for your goodness and your mercy. Thank you that you unite us together as one, Lord God. Thank you for your love, God. God, thank you for precious people in this place, Lord God. Thank you for your love, Lord. And I pray and I ask you, Lord God, that you will command your angels concerning all of us, Lord, to protect, to minister to, Lord God. I pray your healing. I pray deliverance over every person. I pray salvation, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that people will see the goodness of God, that they will experience the favor of God and of man on their lives, Lord. Father, I pray for your Holy Spirit to be poured upon us, Lord. And as Chris, you just prayed earlier, Lord God, that you will fan into flame the gifts that's been given to us by your Spirit, Lord God. God, I pray for a renewed hunger for you, for your Word, for the Spirit of God to come before you in praise and worship. Lord, you are Spirit and you want true worshippers to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord. God, I pray for an outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon us in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that the meditation of my heart and the words of my lip will be acceptable unto you, Lord God. God, I just take authority over every thought in my mind that is not from you, Lord God, and I pray that you will control my thoughts, that the words that I speak will come from your heart, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Christy and the team. And I just want you and you and you to speak to me afterwards. It's good things, not bad things, good things. Thank you. You may be seated for those who are not seated yet. Johan just blessed me with a joke this morning. I just want to share it with you. He said these guys were talking about marriage and women and their lives. And the pastor said, but you must have only one wife. And then the lawyer said, that's too boring. You must have at least a mistress. And then the engineer said, no, you must be practical. You must have a girlfriend and a wife. And then you can tell your girlfriend you're with your wife and your wife that you're with your girlfriend and you can get some work done. So I really enjoyed that. And I wanted to preach a sermon here first, but I was asked by Pastor Fred last weekend to go and preach it, to preach in Stellenbosch on the Saturday. So I wanted to go. I really wanted to go there. It was the first time that I had the opportunity to preach in Stellenbosch as well, which was really a great honor for me to preach there. And it is something that God has been speaking to me for quite a while, and just bringing that word was an honor for me. So I want to say to all of you last week, I'm sorry I wasn't here. I really wanted to be here. But thank you for all the hard work for this year. So many hours, so many sacrifices. And thank you so much to all of you. But, you know, the thing is that God is building His church. And we are His church. And He loves all of us. And we're all a precious part before God for coming together as one, as the Church of Christ. And I want to say to you guys, I'm really proud to be part of this church, to have a function. We all have different functions. It's not my church, definitely not my church. It's the Lord Jesus Christ's church. And we're all family. We're all brothers and sisters before Christ. So also, just as we're starting, it is really a sad time that Madiba has died. I think many people are thrown by it. He was really a great example to this world. I know Rolf told us that his mother and sister were on the plane, and they were sitting very close to Madiba on the plane, and he was talking to them. And then when they came off and they got their luggage, they told his father, they're German, very strict Germans. And he said that they just met Madiba, and they were very interested. They were very excited about that fact. And Rolf's father was like, "Oh yes, right." And then this huge car stops, and the window goes down, and now somebody like, "Okay, thank you." And he calls them on their name. "It was great to meet you." Great, and then he continues on. And I think this is the memory of a man who really humbled himself to reach out to all people, which is a great example for us as Christians as well. I really think the example that he's given, we must aspire. But that is a biblical example that he gave us, that we must not because of Madiba, but because of Christ, the example. And as Desiree just said, you know, his example is so much bigger than a man, because he is God. Also, I don't know if you know, but baby Jake McClala also died this weekend. He was an amazing boxer, a really example as well of mankind, of just being a good guy. And he lost everything. He didn't have any money in the end as well. So the man really, it was sad to see that a man like that, that he was going. But, you know, the spiritual atmosphere at the moment is intense. And if you're a practical person, if you want a girlfriend and a wife that you may work, it might not affect you. But if you're a little bit arty, you'll definitely experience it. And I really want to encourage you guys to pray. Hallo mevrou en meneer Diedrikse. Meneer en mevrou Diedrikse, it's lekker om jullie te sien. Ah, oh, see. Congratulations again. So coming back to the serious stuff. That we must really pray in this time. I really believe it's a time that we must come to, that we must as Christians not rest in the world, but we must rest in Christ in this time. That when we were praying, I just started realizing that all these different leaders from all over the world are coming to South Africa, like the Dalai Lama, many people like that. And it's just, there's a place where all people of all religions want us to pray together, and it setting us up for a one world religion. So just be awake that we serve, there's only one Jesus, there's only one way to Christ, and to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot pray with Muslim people and Buddha people. We cannot do those things. It's not pleasing to God. We cannot do that. And the world is setting us up to a place where we are going to want to do it. We going to Sri Lanka was a great experience for me, and Donkey Baron for taking us. He was on my case for quite a while that we must go, and We had many prophetic words that we must go to the nations internationally. And for me, it's great to go to Africa and the townships. I love it there. I never had a heart to go to the East, but going there was fantastic for me. We went to the tooth relic in Kandy, where I believe a piece of Buddha's tooth is there. And coming there, we saw all the statues, all the Buddha statues. There's a Buddha statue that is, if you would look at Heidelberg Mountain, it will be like part of the Heidelberg Mountain. That's how big this thing is. Wherever you stand, you can see this Buddha statue. So immediately you sense the spiritual atmosphere when you come to a place like this, where these big Buddhas. And where this temple is, they've got the Buddha temple. There's like the Freemason temple there as well. They've got the Hindu temple. The Muslims are there as well. The Roman Catholics are there as well. And they all come together as one. And we're just seeing how Satan is coming to bring all the people together to worship a God that believe that all will believe is the same God, which is the Antichrist. We were praying a lot there, and it's interesting when you start praying like this, how people would act crazy when they come to you and they go like, and Gerard got very annoyed because he just wanted to reach out to people. But we knew the spiritual atmosphere and what was happening. They came to distract us. But when we stood there, I just felt very strongly we had to go to a seminary, and there was these four graves, British graves, and each high commission, any British person, very important person, would always come to visit those four graves, and then they go to the temple. And there was this man, his name was Charles, and we was talking to him, and he showed us the four graves, and then next moment he turned to me and he said to me, "I want to go to hell." And I'm like, "Owens, jylle moet bid." So the Owens begin bid, and I'm starting to speak to this guy, and I really wanted to reach to lead him to the Lord. And then I'm like, "Why do you want to go to hell?" He says, "I want to meet Lucifer." And I'm like, this is radical. But as we started speaking to him, we realized that he's been disappointed so many times in his life that he would ask the opposite of what he really wanted. But we know that you get what you ask. If you ask Lucifer, you will get it. In the end, we wanted to pray for him, Apostle Byrne, he got a word that this man was sick in his back, and we wanted to pray for him. And this guy said, "Don't pray for me, you pray for other people. I don't want you to pray for me." And I could see in the end there was tears in his eyes, because he could, and there was such a war for light and darkness in this where we were. And anyway, he asked me to write a letter, and I wrote him a letter, "Dear Charles," and I wrote a nice letter, and I ended it with, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Love, Theo." And then we were praying, and then the guy said, "You know that Prince Charles is going to go there tomorrow, and he's probably going to read that note that you had." So there was like really amazing things that we saw in Sri Lanka, apart from many people's lives being changed, that opened my eyes when I came here to see that what the spiritual atmosphere is here in our country as well, which is completely different to there, but it's worse than what I saw there. They've got all the Buddha temples, Islam temples. They've got many things that is shocking to the system. But I never saw a paper lying around. No one, there's no alcoholics. Maybe two, three that I've heard of, people that drink. I saw three liquor stores in all the time that I've been there. The women dress very nicely, jeans, very looked after. Then when you come here, it's a shock to the system when you see how we dress and what we do and the things that we're doing again. And then I came back and I listened to a sermon of Mark Driscoll, and it's Exodus 20. When he was saying this, he said he went to India and he met this Indian lady there. What's the chances of that? Anyway, he's meeting this Indian lady, and she said, "No, she's been to the States." And he said, "Really? And how did you find it?" She says, "I hated it. There's too much idolatry in the States." And he says, "Idolatry? Look at all the temples." He was thinking at all the temples in your country, and you're talking about idolatry in our country. This is what I see, that I'm seeing as well. I'm seeing idolatry in our country, that we're substituting God for a different God. They've got the Buddha's temples, but we have other gods that we're putting in front of us that is false worship. Also, I'm listening to a person that Tian told me to listen to. This guy is a Nigerian guy, and he's talking about prayer. And he says, I was in this city, and I was only praying 3 to 4 hours a day. Then he says, you can't pray for a half an hour a day. Then the angels just go, yes, amen, brother. So start praying that we can do our work. And I'm convicted, and I'm realizing that we as people don't pray. We do many other things, but we don't pray. We don't worship. We don't come before God and do what God has told us to do. So coming to, maybe I just want to share something else as well. When we walked in Sri Lanka the first day, everyone was looking at our feet. And I got freaked out. Like, what are they looking? We thought, it's maybe because we're not wearing shoes. But most of them weren't wearing shoes. They were wearing like sandals in there. And then that scripture came to me, how beautiful are the feet of those who brings the good news. And it was something that's been with me quite a while. And a guy came to me. He looked like he was crazy. And he did like all these funny things to me, and he completely threw me as well. I don't know what this guy got, but he was really a cool guy. He really looked almost as cool as Craig. Long hair, good looking guy. And 2 days later, I saw the same guy, and he was completely normal. And I could see that the demons were upset because we were there. Because we were focused, we were prayed up, and we knew what God had called us to do, and we were ready for action. I'm just knowing that for us here, we must be ready for action all the time. As we pray there, we must pray here. Because things change. Amazing how it changes. And what is great for me, when you preach, and they have a healing service, and are you the preacher to come and preach? It puts a lot of pressure on you, especially when they call it a healing service. But the church is fasting that whole day. So it doesn't actually matter who preaches. You must just do the altar call because God wants to do the rest. And when people are blind, you pray for them and they see. There's like gray on their eyes. And then when you look again, it's nice brown. And this lady sees, and they all go like, and they smile because this is yes and that is no. It's very confusing. So you have to close your eyes when you pray. And just stand in faith. You can't doubt in any way. And what's also great about this is that you don't understand what people are saying. So you're so reliant on what the Holy Spirit is saying, that when God speaks to you, you know, this is what the Lord is saying. What I don't even know what they're saying. Because many times we listen for cues. Now I just have to go on what God is saying. And God is so faithful. Every time it just comes through. Like this one family, the family is saved. The two grandmothers are not. And I had a word specifically, go and heal and proclaim the gospel. And I just said, ons gaan vir ouma bid. Kom ouma, because they didn't understand what I'm saying anyway. Even if I speak English, I was just speaking Afrikaans. Kom ouma, ons gaan nou vir jou bid. Kom staan hier so. And we smiled at her. And she smiled and we prayed for her. And then ouma started walking and she goes like. And now our faith is getting bold. And I must be honest with you, they said we were in unity. I don't think we were in unity that much, but we fought for unity amongst one another because we wanted to. There was times where I wanted to fight. I was angry with things. I had bad dreams the first night. I couldn't sleep. I was like hallucinating. I thought they were watching television and laughing. Meanwhile, it was just me. It was voices that was coming to me. But when we go out there and it's about light and darkness, it's Hindu and Jesus. Now, who's the strongest? Because their God heals as well. Now, who's the strongest? Then you need faith. And you say, my God heals in the name of Jesus. Stand up and walk. And God is faithful. And this is really where I want to encourage all of us to go. You know, when I do an altar call, Baron said to me afterwards, the people were like, and then they wanted to just come forward. They were so hungry to come forward. And they come forward. We pray. I touch a lady. Accidentally, the next moment she goes to the ground. I'm still praying here for someone. And then she's like doing the snake dance over here. And then we go and pray for her. And then she's fine. And she comes to me through interpreter. And she says there's something running around in her tummy. In Shofar, we will go and give them renunciation lists to go through, and we send them to F4. Now we just lead them to Christ. We pray for them, for her, and then she goes down again. She dances a little bit again, and then she comes up. She's crying, we're crying, everybody's crying, but she's set free. Not a long 3-6 months, year deliverance. It's Christ heals. He delivers. Built my faith. My faith was incredibly built through all of this. Seeing what Satan is doing as well. Seeing what God wants to do. The prophetic words that we had speaking in Colombo. Just declaring what God is going to do in this place. Knowing this. Knowing when we pray over people. Knowing that this is going to happen to them. And then thank you for everyone that was praying for us. Especially our wives. And they are like nervous because every time we go away, bad things happens to them, and they're coming together and they have these words, living water and then tsunamis, and they think we're going to wash away. And I was like looking at the sea and I'm thinking, there's no way this tsunami is going to come here. I'm just in my heart, I knew that God is not bringing anything here. It's just the people are so raw and broken. They really need Christ. I can't see a destruction at this moment. This is just what I sense in my spirit. And then all the rain came here. And I was thinking, oh my word, it wasn't for us, it was for you. Now we're praying from that side to you guys. So it's for me and Gerard not being here, we're on Facebook as much as we can. And look at this, look at that. And we're fighting because we're only 3 people allowed on Facebook at a time. So it was tough for us sitting from that side. But it was also great to see how God was faithful to warn the prophets. Because he doesn't do anything unless he tells his prophets first. And out of that place, I just know for us as Christians to come together to pray more often. Because God is faithful. God is good. We must just come into His presence. I want to take you to Exodus 20. God spoke these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. It's about Christ. And this is just what the Holy Spirit is saying to us this morning. In all the songs, it's about God. It's not about us. It's about God. It's not what we are doing, what we can do. It's not about our ministries. It's not about the plans that God has for you. It's none of those things. It's about God. And are you and I willing to lay down what we believe God wants to do in our lives? Because it is about Christ. It's not about the stuff that you're going to do and I'm going to do for Jesus. It's about who God is. It's all about Christ. It's He who took us out of slavery and brought us into this world. Verse 3 says, you shall have no other gods before me. And going into Sri Lanka, this is all the only scripture that I could think of all the time. Because you Hindu, even the Christians have these Jesus with Mary. But Mary is this, like this this huge god, and Jesus is the little baby wherever you go. And you see the sun and the moon with all the Buddha, on all the Buddha statues, and you see the Rotary sign and the Lions Club sign on every Buddha temple that I saw in Sri Lanka. The Rotary and the Lions Club statue. That was very interesting to me. I wonder where the Buddha stole that one from. But you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth below, or that is in the water underneath. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. So I'm just thinking, what are we serving? What are the things that we are serving? Where do we spend our time? What gods are we serving? How much time do we spend reading the Bible, praying, versus watching television? You know, there's people watching television 3-4 hours a night, and we might pray 15 seconds, Here dankie vir vandag, in die naam van Jesus, and read maybe one scripture a day, if we do that, but we spend all this time doing other things, or I'm so busy at work. My work is consuming me. I don't have time for anything because my work is taking all my time. Or my children, I'm so consumed with my children. I've got to go to this dysfunction, or I have to take them to sport, and I've got to take them to this activity, and I've got to do all these things for my children. But how much time are we spending with Christ? How much time are we spending in His presence? Where do we spend our money? What is the first thing that we pay a month? What's the first thing that your money is going to? And Donkey Donny, he's probably in the mother's room. But what's that first fruit that we bring? Is it your tithe? Is it, Lord, this tithe is just showing you that I put my trust in you. Because you can say, yes, the Bible, no, the Bible, but where is your money? Where do you put it? Is it to God, to the purposes of God, or is it maybe for luxury? Where does our talents go? Where do we, the things that God has given us, do we bless the body of Christ with it? Or do we bless ourselves with it? To use it to enrich ourselves? Because we become slaves of the things we serve. If we serve television, we become its slave. And I see it to my own children. Papa, net Thomas cake. And a little Thomas cake. And I just want to watch a movie. I just want to relax. I want to watch a movie. But there's this desire in your heart to want to watch things or do things that is not from God. Or if you were a Hebrew 2,000 years ago and they brought you to Newlands, what would you think it would be? Because everyone comes together before the time and they do these food offerings as unto the Lord on the fires. They drink these drink offerings. And they dress all the same clothes and they put war paint on their faces and they walk into this temple and all these gods run onto the field and they go, ah, ah, and the gods who's the favorite gods, they win. Or when we're having a bad day, it's like, oh, I just want to go to the mall. I'll go and buy something. I'll buy the dress and I feel so much better. But Jesus is saying, if we taking strength, come to me. Don't come to the mall and buy something that you can feel better. Come to me so that you feel better. Or we go to Lady Gaga or Katy Perry or these shows and all the trance parties and they go, and they worship gods. There's gods they worship. The whole thing about Nelson Mandela that she said, he's a great man. But interviews, they were saying he was the savior. He was the man that forgave. It was he that trains this country. So this is a fine line of recognizing a great man versus idolizing him. We even have a show that we call Idols. But God says, you will have no idols before me. And we all watch Idols because who is going to be the new idol? So the whole civilization in the West is geared for idol worship. And we have all these people and posters that we look at, that we adore, not realizing that Katy Perry sold a soul to Satan. Did you know that? That Lady Gaga is a high priest in the occult, but we go to her shows and we think we will not be affected by it. Verse 5 says, for I, the Lord, your God, I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers of the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. That first night, I had this dream. I dreamt Lynette was going to divorce me for a guy that's in church here. And I was angry with him. I don't want to expose him. Shame I exposed him in Stellenbosch. But he wasn't there. It was John Kleinos. And I felt, yeah, I'm so angry that next morning. And I wanted to go home. And now I SMS Lynette and she doesn't respond. And I Facebook her, she doesn't respond. And eventually I get the email through and she doesn't respond. And I'm like, I'm anxious. Why does my wife respond to me? And this thing is bugging me. And in my dream, I felt that the church will expect me to be glad for John Kleinans. Can you imagine that? But this is what happens in the church. Jy lach, doens, but this is what happens. We expect the pastors to be things that is not in line with God. Because we have certain idols that we put in front of us. And people must act in a certain way. Instead of what the truth is. And for me, I was angry. And yeah, it says, God saying, I am a jealous God. And we come before Him with our own ideas, our own thoughts, the things that we think is from God, and we come to God and say, God, bless me so that I can have this house. God, bless me so that I can have this car. God, bless me so that I can have all these things. And we're using God as a genie. And we're coming before Him, not because we want to worship Him, but what can He do for me so that I can be blessed and I can have a good lifestyle. And I really believe, as I was crying out for my wife, because I was upset and I was angry, so God is upset because we have other gods that we serve. I was reading Uzziah yesterday. It's terrible. God said to him, go and marry a prostitute. Have children with this prostitute. And in the first child's name, I can't remember, but it's something like judgment. And the second child's name will be, I will punish you as a nation. And the third child will be all these names that God is giving them. And God says to Uzziah, as your wife is prostituting with other men, so my nation is prostituting with me. And this is my heart. This is how I'm feeling. My heart is broken because I'm only God. I'm the only God and I am a jealous God. I am the Lord your God. But God shows steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. God shows steadfast love to thousands who love me and to keep my commandments. And we can say we love God, and we cannot keep His commandments. John says, if you love me, keep my commandments. He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. So if we do the things that God has told us to do, we love Him. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. God is saying, be doers of the word, not hearers only. If we say we love God, we will keep His commandments. I'm so convicted. So if God says forgive, I must forgive. If God says I must give to the poor, I must give to the poor. If He says judge not, we must not judge. If He says pray always without ceasing, we must pray always without ceasing. If He says make disciples, we must go and make disciples. If He says be baptized, I must be baptized because I love God and I want to do His commandments. God shows steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and who keep my commandments. The thing that I'm seeing in this world that is an idol for us is the love of money. We love stuff more than what we love God. Some of us even love stuff more than what we love the loved ones. We want things. We want more. Timothy 6 says, verse 8, if we have food and clothing, with these will we be content. Are you content with food or clothing? Is that enough for you? Or do you think, I would love that Mercedes? Monday night, there was an outreach in Nomzamo, and this apostle came to preach. And we did a Bible school graduation to the guys, and apostle, can't remember his name anymore, was preaching, reading Genesis 1, 2, and 3, that God is a creator God. And then he started saying to them, if you believe, you can have that Mercedes. And his whole sermon for an hour until I walked out was about this Mercedes and how he would stand in faith and go and park at this parking area. And he would walk around this parking area to stand in faith for this Mercedes. And if anyone parked in his space, he would go to his head pastor and he would say, someone is standing on my space. And the guys in Nomzamo were like going, yes, yes. And they wanted the money. And he said, if you have faith, then ask for 500 rand, ask for 20,000 rand. I'm thinking, yes, that's great. 20,000 rand will be great for me as well to have it in my bank account. But we're preaching a gospel that is not the word of God. Because we have a love for money. We're not content with the things that God is giving us. We want more. Verse 9 says, those who desire to be rich fall into temptation. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. And I've seen it a lot. Guys come up through varsity, they're on fire for God, and then they get that job. And before you know, they're too busy. They're doing all these great things and it's God's blessing on my life and they're having the salary and they grow cold and they grow cold. And eventually they grow very cold. They just turn away from God. Verse 10 says, it's not money that's the root of all kinds of evil, but it's the love of money that's the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. So the love of money will cause us, there's a craving that's in you because you want more and we want more and we want a bigger house, we want to work harder, we want to do all those things that we can have. And we look at the neighbor and we're starting to worship a rat. We're all running after this rat. So they worship Buddha, at least it's still a man, but we are worshipping a rat. Because we're running after a rat. Verse 11 says, O man of God, flee these things. Don't be part of this. Flee these things. Pursue righteousness. To be in right standing before God. Godliness. That we are holy because God is holy. God wants us to repent of our things that we can become holy before Him because God is holy. Faith, that we stand and walk in faith. Love, steadfastness, gentleness, that we must fight the good fight of faith. Taking hold of our eternal life. And, you know, I just shared in Stellenbosch the whole thing about last year when Morris died. And in the beginning of the year, my father and Batuma and Tani Trudy and then Morris and Johan and then Tani Elsa and Dani in the beginning of this year again, I'm really confronted with eternity. That every decision that we make here on earth will affect how we're going to spend eternity. Are we ready? Because what are we worshipping? If we come before God, what will He ask us? Are we going to stand before Him with a clear conscience? Or are we worshipping other stuff that we're not putting God before us? I spoke to you about Charles in Kandy. This man, if he must die now because of the words that he made, I can't see from a biblical point of view where he would end. On Friday night, I had a dream. In my dream, my wife said to me, I have to break bad news for you. And I said, yes, just break it. And she said to me, you've got cancer. And I'm like, oh my word, sure. And then in my dream, I was starting to seek God, Lord, am I ready to go? Because I knew now, if I have to fight this faith, this fight of faith, I must be ready in my heart to go to Christ. I must be ready to surrender completely to Him and to His purposes. And I want to ask you, are you ready? Are you ready? We cannot serve two masters, either the one or the other. Luke says, no servant can serve two masters. You will either hate the one or love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And then verse 14, just listen to this. The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard these things and they ridiculed Jesus. Because of the love of money, they heard it, but it didn't affect them, and they ridiculed Jesus. Because the love of money, if there's two gods, if you're serving something else, your heart will get hardened towards Christ and Christ's purposes. And you will have excuses not to do the things of the Lord, which is because of this idolatry that we have in our lives. And I want to be honest with you, I'm the first guy that is repenting at the moment. I'm really seeking God because I realize in my own life there's other stuff that I'm putting before the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 18, the ruler said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. Then Jesus says, you know the commandments. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus answers by saying, you know the commandments. He doesn't say, have faith. Just believe in me. Just pray this prayer of repentance and you'll have eternal life. Jesus says, you know the commandments. Now, I'm like, Jesus, what about the grace message? Because we say, and I've said it to people, just believe. If you believe, you will be saved. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother. And then he said, all of these I get from my youth. And I just want to put something in context now. It is faith. But faith without works is dead. Because of God and His Spirit coming in me, I am compelled by His love to want to do things. God's Spirit enables me to keep the commandments. I walk in truth. I walk in the light because God's Spirit is within me. There can be no darkness where there is light. So if there is anything that is not in the commandments, it is because there's a connection. There's a missing connection. I've got to come back to God and surrender completely to God. So it is about faith. But we don't understand faith. Faith is more than just believing. There's actions that comes from faith. It's a place of love that we are the hands and feet of Christ, that we are obedient to what the Word is saying. That place is a place that we are motivated from being in Christ. Now Jesus, you know, Matthew 20, I just want to quickly share it with you. When Jesus said to these Pharisees, his disciples, he says, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of God. Unless our righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, we will not enter. You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with a brother is liable for murder. So there's a condition in the heart that the grace message gives to us, that God is saying if we lust after a woman with our eyes, we are an adulterer at heart. So there's something in our hearts that the grace message, that they're coming before God, He wants to change. We can't lust after people, look into things and think God is going to be fine with that. I listened of a testimony of a man from Uganda, and he said Jesus appeared to him and he said to him, if you must die now, you will not come to heaven. And he said, but God, I'm doing all these mighty things for you. And he said, because of the condition of your heart, you lust after women, you have anger in your heart towards people, you would not come before me. And this was a great shock to me, because I just had to repent that whole Saturday. It was the Saturday before I had to preach as well this thing. So I'm coming to you from a place that I'm knowing I'm not in a good place. Because here Jesus said, if your right eye causes you to sin or your hand, cut it off. Because it's better that you go into heaven without an eye or a hand than going into hell with both your hands and your feet. So there's something that Christ wants from us that is more than what we have been preaching. It's not just believing and we will be fine. Jesus said to this man, he said to him, you do all the commandments, that's fine, but there's one thing that you still lack. Sell everything you have, distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. That's the gospel. Sell everything that you have. Follow Christ. Surrender completely. All the stuff that you have, all the desires, give it to Christ. When Daniel was so sick and Lynette and I were praying, say, God, Abram put Isaac on the altar, we put Daniel on the altar. And we knew what it meant. It meant that God could take him. And I remember I still phoned a guy that I knew who lost his boy. And I put the phone down because I thought, in my weakness, how selfish can I be? I still have my son. Even though he's sick, this man lost his own son. And I want to phone him and ask him to comfort me. And it was a terrible place for me, but I was really in a bad spot. And I was praying one day and I said, God, it's my son. And I heard God speaking to me in my heart. He said, it was mine too. And I cried. The gospel is about surrendering our lives. This is the gospel that Jesus Christ has been given us. We can't walk with one foot in the one side and one foot in the other side. This is why we don't have deliverance, we don't get dealing, we don't get breakthrough in our lives, because we are adulterous people. I'm talking about myself as well. We pray, and we don't see the breakthrough because we don't want to surrender to Christ. And I'm just coming to a place where I'm just praying, God, turn my heart, because I want to follow you. I want to surrender everything that I have for your purposes. Jesus said, if you want to save your life, you will lose it. Whoever loses his life will save it. So there's a fine line where we have to surrender completely. when we went to Kandy, this was probably the highlight for me. We've seen many miracles, but this changed my life. Pieter Ter Haar, it is Gerard's cousin. This man is about 54 years old. He got saved 34 years ago. The man that led him to the Lord, they were in the Navy. They were Navy divers. He's still with him. He's been living in Sri Lanka for 27 years. He's got an orphanage for little girls from 2-3 years old to about 18, and then they go back into the world as well. They have one thing in common. They all were raised by their fathers, older brothers, uncles, and grandfathers. And for us, we were 6 guys there. They asked us to sing, and none of us could sing except Craig. We sang. But I looked at my feet. I was embarrassed to be a man, and I didn't want to look up. And we sang, and then they sang with us. Amazing. How great is our God. And they sang with us. And as he introduced us to these girls, he would say, "This is maybe Sharon. She's been here for 2 weeks. This girl had this wild look in her eyes. Another girl, she's been there for 4 months. She looked this wild look. But then these girls, they've been there 5 years, 6 years. And they could see the love in their eyes because they knew a father. And this man became a father to them. And he became a spiritual father. And he asked us to pray for him. I just said off to his guys, "How can I pray for this man? This is a man that surrendered everything that he had for the purposes of God. And I know he's going to sit right next to Jesus one day because of the work that he has done of surrendering everything. And God's favor is on this man's life. People come and they say, 'We want to buy you a farm.'" Dutch people, because he's that hard as well. They think he can speak Dutch, but then he speaks Afrikaans and Shingalese now, but and English. But he God's faithfulness on his life because he surrendered everything. People come, they buy him a farm. They put up a house for him. This huge man, you must see the photographs. We'll show you the photographs. And these 27 girls are standing there, and their lives have been changed because of a man's commitment to surrender to the purposes of Christ. So Jesus says, "We lack one thing. Sell all that we have, distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven." This is the place. I'm not saying go and sell everything. I'm going to ask God, "God, I surrender everything to you." And then be ready to say what God is saying. Because Jesus then said, when this man heard these things, he was very sad, for he was extremely rich. This man was very rich, therefore he became very sad. And Jesus, seeing that he became sad, he said, "How difficult it is for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." So the poor, rich people are taking strain here. And then they said, "But who can be saved?" Jesus says, "What is impossible for man is possible for God." There's a place that we have to surrender to God. I'm not saying you must change your lifestyle. I'm just saying we must come to God and surrender to the purposes of God. Because Peter said, "Lord, but Jesus, we've left our houses and we followed you." And Jesus says to him, "Truly, I say to you, there's no one who has left his house or his wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom who will not receive many times more in this time and in the age to come." There is a blessing when we surrender in this age and into the age to come. But I just want to make clear, don't divorce your wife or your husband when you come to the Lord. It's not biblical. Don't take it out of context. Remain as you are, as it says in Corinthians. Every excuse that we have to surrender to Christ is idolatry. Every excuse that we have or we give to surrender to Christ is idolatry. Revelation 13, I'm going to finish with this, says, "I know your works. You are neither hot nor cold. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spit you out of your mouth." But listen to this, verse 17 says, "For you say, 'I am rich.'" These people became cold, lukewarm, because they were saying, "I'm rich, I've prospered, and I need nothing." Isn't this where we are many times? I believe so. I believe we get so stuck to our house and our stuff, and we have two cars and two garages, and we just want a bigger house so the children can play. There's all this stuff that we want, not realizing that we are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. Pitiable is like arama ek. There's not a lack of my ears on it. We're feeling sorry for ourselves. We're not turning to God. Revelations 3:18 says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire. It means character. It means holiness. It's humbleness. When we go through the fire, we surrender and say, God, your grace is sufficient for me. I will not boast in my strengths, but I'll boast in my weaknesses and my calamities, Lord God. Because when I am weak, you are strong. That we allow God, when we go through the fire, to do this thing in us, that we can become holy because God is holy. That we humble ourselves before Him, then we will be rich. And it says we must buy white garments. That is the righteousness. That we read the Bible, that we spend time with God, that we want to become righteous, that we want to be in right standing before God. God says He counsels us to buy this character and the righteousness from us, that we can be clothed and the shame of our nakedness may not be seen. To solve, to anoint our eyes so that you may see, that our spiritual eyes can open, that we can see this world as Jesus sees it. And if you're not seeing it, go to Sri Lanka, go on missions and come back and see where we are, how we've grown cold in the way that we come before God. Then verse 19 says, those whom I love, I reprove and I discipline. Those whom I love, I reprove and I discipline. God disciplines us because He loves us. He reproves us because He loves us. Because there's things that we're doing that is causing us to go astray. And I believe if we continue doing it, we're going to not end up in heaven as we think we are. Because we believe a gospel that is not the truth, not 100% the truth. We believe a different gospel. So when God comes to reprove and to discipline us, that we come and be zealous and repent. That we are zealous and repent. And repenting is not only God forgive us because we are sinners. It means metanoia. It means I make a turn for Christ. And I walk the other way. It's 180 degrees. So every day, the Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Every day I make a decision. God, I choose you. And I choose Him. Every time I want to go and backslide, I say, God, I choose you. And I turn around and I choose Christ. That we choose Christ. That's what repentance means. That we are zealous for Him. So where all these things are starting to stand between me and my relationship with Christ, that I start cutting those things. Because if I'm not going to cut those things, Christ is going to come and cut us. He's going to prune us. Because He loves those. He disciplines those that He loves. When you read Luke 15. And then He says in verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. And if you hear His voice and He speaks to you and you hear His voice and you open the door, He will come in and eat with Him and He with me. And Anushka, you didn't know what I was going to preach this morning. And she brought that same word. God is knocking on our door. And He says, listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. And I really believe this is a word from God. That God is saying to us that we must turn away from living in the world, wanting to be exalted, wanting to use Christ for our means, that we can have this and we can be so well known and we can be all these things that we want and the 10 steps so that I can become a better me, versus surrender all those things and say, God, I come to you, Lord. There's a place that when we spend time with God, it's not 15 minutes. That's idolatry. We cannot spend 15 minutes with God and spend an hour watching porn or in the internet or just watching the newspapers, not coming before God. Every time I see people, the best marriage advice I can give to you is to pray with your wife. You can't do 1,000 courses, it won't help you. We must pray. We must turn to God. There's a place where God is knocking. And when the shots come, who are we accountable to? You know, I'm just seeing, and this is why I want to encourage you to be in cell groups. If you're not in a cell group, you are exposed. Everyone that's standing outside gets taken out. They get taken out. This is why we have cell groups, that you are protected, that there is a lot of people praying for you. And I just said, I just said to the guys in intercession, I listened to something about Andy Stanley, and he said that Christ said, I'm building my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. And then he says, men, love your wives as Christ loves the church. And what he said, and it makes sense to me because I'm making this my own. He says, Christ loved the church. And he's building his church. I'm not building this church. I must love my wife. So if I must make a choice between my wife and the church, I'm making my choice because I want to be true to the word. So if people are out of line and they get shot, I'm putting my phone off. I'm sorry. I just have to take that stand now because I can't have a December like last year anymore where everyone that takes a knock phone me, he must phone Christ. He paid the price. He said, it is done. I've paid the price. We must have relationship with him. You can't expect me to have relationship with him on your behalf. It can't work. When you get taken out, who do you call? Ghostbusters? Or do you pray? When I was standing in Kandy, I was being taken out and I went to the roof and I took authority over, not in Kandy, in Colombo. I took authority over Colombo. And then I came down and Baron interrupted me when I was just at that height. But it was done. I was there already. And then I could go. Who do you phone? Do you phone Christ? Or do you phone the pastor? Because the pastor's phone is off this December. So, I want to ask you, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you like with me, and if you, maybe you guys want to sing a song, I don't know if you want to, but I want to. I can't serve Christ on your behalf. I cannot. And I'm not going to do it anymore. I can serve God because what if He wants from me? And I'm going to be true to that. If people fall because they've been disobedient and not listening and becoming doers of the word, I will pray for you. But we all have to make a decision. Am I turning to Christ or am I going to stay in sin and be taken out? Because sin will destroy all of us. The result of sin is death. The only place where we can stand is when we stand in the word. When we come in His presence, we come together as Christ. We become together as the body of Christ. And we say, Lord, we surrender to your purposes. When a brother falls, don't expect me to go and pick him up. Because I can't run around picking people up all the time. I must pray. I must seek God to hear what God is saying to us. We're all Christians here. We can't expect me to forgive all the time. You must forgive as well. If there's offense in your heart, repent. Say, God, there's offense in my heart, I repent. Because we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We all have stuff in our hearts. We cannot come to people. We can't look at people. The Bible is clear. If you trust in man, you will be cursed. If you trust in God, you will be blessed. You will be like that tree that is planted next to the river. And my call today is, do you want to stand next to the river, planted in the house of God, planted in the Spirit? Or do you want to be criticizing from the side and be taken out? And allow other people to be taken out. Because our hearts must change to Christ. We must change to Jesus. Because if we, with hearts like this, come before Him now, I think many of us will be disappointed. We'll get the shock of our lives. And this is what that pastor from Uganda said. He said he did all these massive things for God, but the attitude of his heart was wrong. And God knows our hearts. He knows what's going on in our hearts. So I want to ask you to just stand that I can pray for us. Father, God, I want to repent, God, of wickedness in my heart, Lord. God, I want to repent of idolatry in my heart, Lord, of serving other gods and doing things, Lord God, that's not pleasing to you, Lord. God, I want to repent of thoughts, Lord, of anger, Lord God. Thoughts of judgment, Lord God. I want to repent of these things and not coming before you and praying and repenting of these things, not loving you and your people, and even loving my enemies, Lord God, as you have commanded me to do. And Father, I understand that I cannot do it in my own strength, but in your presence we can do all things, because where the presence of the Lord is, there's freedom. But God, I pray for your grace upon us as a church, Lord. I pray for your grace, God, that you will come and change our hearts, Lord. That you will pour out your Spirit upon us, Lord, and take our hearts of stone and give us a heart of flesh, that you can be our Father and we can be your children. That we can walk in the fullness of what you have called us, Lord. God, we repent of idolizing people, Lord. Of idolizing stuff. And wanting all the big things, Lord God. And there's nothing wrong with it, Lord God. But if we place it above you, Lord God, there's something wrong with it, Lord. And we repent where we've done that, God. We're too busy to come into your presence and to spend time with you and to focus on the kingdom and its righteousness, Lord. Father, I pray that you will change our hearts, Lord. And Father, we turn to you this morning. We turn to you for December as well, Lord God, that we will not rest in the world, but we will rest in you. God, that we will spend even more time praying and spending time in the Word and being refreshed by you instead of going to bars and stuff and being refreshed in alcohol and being refreshed in the world and refreshed in movies but not coming to you, Lord God, that we will come before you, Lord God. I pray that you will ignite that fire in all our hearts, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Just as we are going to sing a song, I just want to give you the invitation. If you want to be like that rich man and just say, God, I want to surrender to you, I'm going to ask you to come forward as a sign unto the Lord. If there's anyone with sickness, we want to pray for sickness because the devil is keeping us busy. There's people getting sick all around us. And I want to ask you to pray for Brad and for Tia, who's taken up in hospital again, that we pray for them because Satan is seeing what God is wanting to do in our lives. But the church must come together as one. We cannot come together as one if we have all our own agendas. We must surrender to Christ and hear what His agenda is for us, so that our loved ones won't get hurt anymore and end up in hospital and get diseases spoken over them. So if there's anyone sick here, we have the faith to pray for you, because God is good and God heals. I want to just make an open invitation for you to just come and respond to the Word of God in the name of Jesus.